There was a fellow who really bothered him, this Rashi that you mentioned, Rabbi Talbis, and it bothered him very much that Rashi says it's Yarok. And he thought on it, and he once came to my house very excited. He says, don't read the Rashi. Tchelet seva Yarok shalachazor elachilazon, ela tchelet seva Yaruk shalachilazon, a color spit out by the chilazon. And that's why you get rid of the issue of Rashi. Nice, right? Okay, the next speaker is a co-founder of Tchelet. It's very hard for me to introduce a person that I love so much and that I'm so impressed with, and I have almost impossible for me to say it. Baruch Sturman is an electrical engineer. He has a doctorate in physics, an expert in lasers. He and his wife Judy are the authors of the book Outside on Tchelet, The Rarest Blue. Without Baruch, Tchelet would not be where it is today, and it's my greatest pleasure to introduce him now.
I'm actually going to start now where Rabbi Talbis left off. So we've just seen a great deal of confusion in terms of what the color of Tchelet was or is. And the bottom line, I guess, that comes out of it is more or less the consensus is that Tchelet was blue, the sky blue. And in fact, there are really two, and I would say maybe three, foundational researchers in terms of halacha, when we're talking about Tchelet in the last generations, in the last 100 or even 200 years. We've mentioned the Rezin Rebbe, we've mentioned Gershon Henoch, we've mentioned Rav Herzog, but there's really someone who predates that, and that's the Tiferet Yisrael. The Tiferet Yisrael wrote, and sometimes you can find it, I think, at the beginning of the Mishnayos in Seder Moed, where he writes a kuntres called the Kupat HaRochim, and he talks about the Big Day Kehuna, and there he talks about Tchelet, and he really started this off. The Radziner Rebbe knew back and forth and argued, in fact, with the Tiferet Yisrael, and was very much influenced by him. And of course, Rav Herzog also had both of those sources in front of him. All three of them conclusively say Tchelet is Himmelblau, sky blue. So whatever you want to say about all of the Rishonim, the Achronim, the Tanoim, the Amoraim, whatever you want to say, at the end of the day, the poskim that we rely on more than anybody else when it comes to the questions of Tchelet, the Tiferet Yisrael, the Radziner Rebbe, and Rav Herzog, all of them unequivocally say Tchelet has to be sky blue. And the question that I really want to address today, I'm going to get to two questions. One question, and this is a really fundamental question. Why did it take so long to rediscover Tchelet? We're here to celebrate 25 years since the renewal of Tchelet. Since Rav Eliyahu Tevger made his first sets of Tchelet on the shores of Achziv. And 25 years, you know, that's a long time. But we've been around since the Industrial Revolution. We've been through the scientific revolution, you have basically the discovery of general relativity in the early 1900s. It was so hard to find Tchelet. Why did it take so long to find Tchelet? And it has to do with exactly this question. The color of Tchelet. Because the psak that we have is that Tchelet has to be sky blue. And so says Rav Herzog, not in his doctorate, but about a few tens of years later, he writes in Hahed, and I translated it into English, if we unequivocally determine that the appearance of Tchelet had no purple component, then this would be enough to dislodge the assertion that the Murex trunculus is the chilazon. Okay. Rav Herzog knew about the Murex trunculus. He knew about the fact that it is a chilazon, a snail. He knew as much of the linguistics as anybody alive today. Believe me, Rav Herzog spoke 12 languages fluently. And he knew about the archaeological evidence that had found mounds and mounds of Murex trunculus. He knew about Tyre. He knew about a lot of things. He had a problem, though. Because already the Tiferet Yisrael and the Radziner, although he doesn't say it, but it's clear that he knew of this, and Rav Herzog had one fundamental idea and understanding. Snails make purple. They don't make blue. You can get a dye, a beautiful purple dye, out of a snail, but you can't get a blue dye out of a snail. Now, if you think that this is just Chachamim, who, what do they know about science? Rav Herzog in his doctorate corresponds with the greatest chemist of the time, Paul Friedlander. And this is actually a piece that's not usually seen in the doctorate, even by people who've read it cover to cover, because Rav Herzog assumes that you have to speak 12 languages also if you're going to read his doctorate. So if he has something in a different language, he doesn't bother translating it. So the letter that he has from Paul Friedlander, the chemist who really was the dye expert in the world at the time, he leaves in German. Luckily, my father-in-law speaks German, and he translated it. And I'll quote to you what he writes, Friedlander. And this is actually, he got in touch with Friedlander, with this Paul Friedlander, the chemist, to do tests on the Radzin Tchelet. He took some Radzin Tchelet and he wanted to test it, and he got back. And that's actually what most people, even if you're going to read Paul Friedlander, you're going to read the part that he says about Radzin Tchelet. But you're not going to read the last words. And here he says, I also consider it impossible to produce a pure blue from the purple snails that are known to me. And that's the greatest scientist of the time. There's another letter, again, when Rav Herzog was trying to identify the trelet that came from Razin and trying to understand what exactly it was, where it came from, and whether it was kosher trelet. So he sent another sample to the Gobelin laboratories in France to get their understanding of what was going on. And again, he doesn't bother translating the French. Luckily, my father-in-law speaks French, so he translated. And this came back from the Gobelin laboratories. I don't know of any natural blue color other than indigo that is capable of solidly dyeing textile fibers. The greatest scientists of the time in the early 1900s believed that purple came from snails. Snails could only give purple. The only dye that was possible in the world, naturally occurring, to give a blue dye was indigo, which we have seen was Kala Ilan. And so, what's Rav Herzog to do? All the evidence points at the Murex trunculus. Murex trunculus only gives purple. I could say, if I wanted to, if I looked through all of Rabbi Taubes' sources, I might be able to find them. That maybe I could say that Trelet was some kind of a purple, but Rav Herzog wasn't willing to do that. And so he had to be kovea. He said, Trelet has to be blue. And there, you cannot live with those three things at the same time. If the Murex trunculus is the source of the Trelet, the chilazon, and the Murex trunculus gives purple, and Trelet is blue, one of those statements has to be false. Rav Herzog was never able to determine that, and he unfortunately died in 1959 with this suffix. And lest you think that Rav Herzog lived in a time when science was not so advanced, but we today are so much smarter, let's just go back just a very, very few years. 1979. Rav Chaim Twersky from Chicago, oh, I just found this recently, he showed this to me. He decided in 1979, he decided that he was going to look and start asking questions. Maybe there is something that we've found since the time of Rav Herzog. It's a long time ago, 1914, even 1932, 1959. Here he was in 1979. Maybe somebody has seen something or knows something or has come up with something new. So he wrote away to the Smithsonian Institute and asked the experts there if anybody knows what the source of the trelet was. And this is a letter he got back. Dear Dr. Twersky, I have no idea whatsoever about sepia. He says it doesn't make sense to you. But the only thing he says, the only known two or three dyes coming from marine animals, and these are all purple. So even in 1979, the greatest marine biologists in the world still believed that all dyes that came from a snail are purple. Well, 1985 comes along, and Otto Elsner, who's a researcher in Herzliya at the Schenker College of Fibers, the rest is history, as they say, he discovered A very interesting fact, and we'll see this in a few minutes. I don't know if the sky will help us today, but he noticed, or he found, discovered this idea. When he died with Murex trunculus on cloudy days, he did indeed get a purple dye out of the Murex trunculus, but when he died on sunny days, then he got a purple, a beautiful, beautiful sky blue dye, and that was the beginning of the resolution to this problem. And Professor Elsner's work was published in the 7th International Wool Textile Research Conference in Tokyo. So you can imagine there were probably a lot of Rabbanim there who just were jumping on this discovery of the Tchelet. It wasn't that way, and it took quite a number of years through the work of Dr. Zeiderman, Bezalel Naor, and then eventually Rav Tevger, that this discovery made its way into Halacha. And so just very, very briefly, and I think we'll talk about this in a second when we get outside to do the demonstration here in a little while. There are essentially two molecules that come out of the snail. Indigo is one of them, and that gives it the bluish component. And then there's a molecule that's also made by the snail called dibromoindigo, which is indigo and it has two bromine atoms. At a certain stage in the dye process, if you irradiate, if you subject the dye solution to sunlight, the bromine atoms will break off and you're left with indigo. And that's the way, as Professor Elsner showed, that you can get a blue dye out of the snail. Now, things have moved a little bit forward since that time in 1985. And I'll end with just sharing with you the latest research that we have. Two things. Thing number one. Professor Elsner discovered how to make trelet out of a snail. But maybe the ancient dyers never knew how to do that. How could we ever possibly know if they knew to dye in the sun or not in the sun? And there's been arguments back and forth. We had quite a heated debate, my wife and I, with Professor Tzvi Koren on the pages of Biblical Archaeology Review that was called the Great Trelet Debate. Back and forth, where Professor Koren argued that the ancient dyers could never have known how to make it blue. We argued that the ancient dyers would have known how to make it blue. They were dyeing outside in the smelly dye, so of course they would have exposed it to the sun. But I think that the nail in the coffin came just a few years ago with an announcement by Professor Zohar Amar and Dr. Nama Sukenik, who analyzed a fabric from a cave in the Dead Sea that had been found many, many, many years ago by Roland Devaux, a French archaeologist, in one of the Bar Kokhba caves. And he was interested more in what Bar Kokhba wrote, not in what was on the floor of the cave. So there were some fabrics there that he took, and of course he put them away into a drawer, but never really did any research into them. Nama Sukenik analyzed for her doctorate 148 samples of the fabrics that were found in these caves, and one fabric that she found, and you can read about this in an article, and we have it on our site. One of the fabrics that she found, when analyzed, showed conclusively that the fabric had been dyed with a snail. How could you know that? How could you know if you're seeing indigo, whether it comes from a plant or a snail? Well, it comes to the other point that I said before. The snail has two molecules, dibromoindigo and indigo. When you get rid of the dibromoindigo, you're left with indigo. But you can never get rid of the dibromoindigo completely. There are always going to be trace molecules. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can tell the difference between Kala Ilan and real Tchelet. And Baruch Hashem, he has given us an HPLC, which can also tell the difference between Kala Ilan and Tchelet. And that we can use to see if the blue that we're looking at is pure 100% indigo, in which case it would come from a plant, or if it has traces of this bromine in it, and then it comes from the snail. And at the way it is today, we can even tell what species of snail it comes from. This fabric that was found in the Wadi Murbad cave was dyed blue from the time of Bar Kokhba, that means in the time of Rabbi Akiva, and it was dyed with the Murex trunculus snail. And so, Namasukenik and Zohar Amar write, therefore it can be determined with certainty that the textile was dyed with genuine shellfish dye, and so it seems that during the dyeing process, the dye solution was exposed to sunlight to produce the blue color. So it seems absolutely clear that the technology existed to dye blue in the times of Chazal. And now I just want to say quickly, we meaning that fairly small group of people who are doing research into Tcheles around the world, have found that sunlight is not the only way that you can turn the purple of the snail blue. And I'll just tell you what we know of now is 8 different ways that you can turn the purple from the snail into blue. Way number one is using sunlight at a specific stage, and that we'll hopefully do today. Using sunlight at a specific stage and exposing that dye to sunlight. Professor Elsner was the one who found that. Subsequently, someone asked us to make tchelet that was purple, Dr. Zeiderman. We did that by not exposing the tchelet to sunlight, and then we got a purple dye out of it. And then we brought the tchelet to Dr. Zeiderman, and it was blue. How did that happen? So it ends up that if right after you dye, you steam the wool in very hot steam or even in boiling water, well, that will also turn the purple into a sky blue. According to Rabbi Taporovich, this I haven't seen with my own eyes, but he claims that even if you take the solution of the dye and you boil it, you'll get a blue color out of it. So that's way number three. Multiple dipping of the dye. So I take wool, I put it into the dye solution, I take it out, if I haven't exposed it to sunlight, and I'm going to get purple. What if I put another white wool into the same solution? Well, when I take that out, that is already going to be blue. So there is a halachic problem of Marasheni, but still, at least that is a fourth way of getting the dye to be blue. Namasukenik tells us that if she dips the strings that she dyed purple in a very strong reactant, like acetone or benzene, then she can turn it blue. And here it starts to get interesting. Roy Hoffman, Professor Hoffman from Hebrew University, says that you can actually look at the glands, and you can see that the glands, when they come out of the snail, some of them are a little bit more purple or a little bit more blue. And if you select them and use only the bluish ones, you're going to get a blue color. Professor Koren goes even further and says that he thinks that there's even a subspecies of murex that gives more blue than purple. And my favorite is the fact, or I should say the theory, proposed by Professor Ehud Spanier, that female snails will give a more purple and male snails will give a more blue. This is not easy to do, to tell the difference between male snails and female snails. And I don't know if it was really possible to do this in ancient times. I'll tell you something. It's not that easy. And even if it was easy, it's not that easy. Because snails are hermaphrodites. And they can actually change in the middle of their lives from male to female depending on what's needed. So I have to say that I'm not quite sure that that was the way that Chazal were making their tchelos in ancient times. But I do want to say that there is quite a bit of research going on, and what I put out as a challenge now to the poskim is to look at this research and tell us, are there other ways that we can do that are halachically valid? At Petil Tchelet, we want to make tchelet with every hidur, with every chumrah, but at the same time, we want to make it available to anybody. And if there's ever a possibility that we can come up with a more efficient way and lower the price, that would be very, very exciting for us and very exciting, I think, for Am Yisrael. So, thank you.